Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues here on AFR. If you would like to watch the show on the internet, go to Facebook or YouTube as we live video stream the program. We also post the stories that we talk about, and you can engage with our other listeners to American Family Radio and to Today's Issues. Steve Jordahl joins us. Good morning, Steve Jordahl.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, everybody.
Wherever you may be listening.
That's true.
You got them all.
And the ships at sea, as they say.
You gotta, do you identify at night, though?
Do I identify at night?
It's daytime, but if you self-identify as it being night, it is in your world, it is, Steve.
It might be.
That was a lame joke,
It's,
and I didn't deliver it well.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere, as they say.
All right, so before we jump into the news here, Ed, you
yes.
wanted to play that clip, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I want to play the clip, President Trump from Saturday night at the at the Oklahoma, that was Tulsa, right?
In Tulsa.
That's still in Oklahoma, yeah.
Still in Oklahoma. I'm proud of my heritage, and I just want everyone else to hear what the president said.
The left-wing anarchists tore down a statue of Thomas Jefferson. Now we're getting into the real stuff. They decapitated a statue of Christopher Columbus, except in New York when the Italians surrounded it. They didn't have too much of a chance. Those Italians, I love the Italians. They heard they were going to rip down their beautiful Christopher Columbus, and all of a sudden they circled that thing.
Italian people.
Was that love in New York? Really happen?
I guess so, yeah. They surrounded the statue of Christopher Columbus. I did see pictures of it. I don't know if anyone challenged them, but... But the Italian people.
Love the Italian people.
The Italians.
Yeah, what are they going after? Well, I don't know. What are they going after Christopher Columbus for?
Well, because when Europeans came over to the New World, they brought disease and genocide and wiped out the native
and expansion and
expansion and all
colonization.
That. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's evil.
Terrible.
But they don't believe it so much that they'll go back where they came from, these protesters. We'll go back to where you started, where your ancestors
find
started.
Find your country of origin.
Right.
Trace it all the way back. There are ways to do this.
Whether, go back to Austria.
Whether
back
it be Norway or Angola.
Right.
Huh?
Yeah, go back there.
Or Saudi Arabia. You need to go back.
Give your home and property to a Native American.
There you go.
And leave. If you really believe it, you would.
That's what they said they were going to do after President Trump was elected. Remember all these Hollywood celebrities? I'll tell you one thing. If Trump's elected, I'm out of here.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to A, B, or C.
Well nobody ever said that Hollywood people are hypocrites, that, right?
Yeah. All right.
We'll deal with
they're
that
actors,
later.
Right?
They're
I think
actors.
It was Sean Hannity that said he actually had a $100,000 he put up. He says, I'll buy your ticket and your moving expenses. Who said that?
Sean Hannity?
It was Sean Hannity. He says, the caveat is you have to be gone for at least 3 years.
Because of the
president. You can't just come back.
Yeah.
Hey, Steve, you're a NASCAR fan. Talk about this NASCAR story.
Wow. The NASCAR is coming around. It's kind of going through a self-examination with regard to
this racial. Are they
reflecting,
Steve?
They're reflecting. They are. So... NASCAR founded and kind of nurtured in the South. It has a lot of overtones of redneck, kind of good old boy.
Really?
Yeah, they do. That's the kind of the history. So they have decided that they are going – NASCAR started by deciding they were going to ban the Confederate flag at any of its racetracks or in its races.
Okay.
It features one African-American driver in its senior series. His name is Bubba Wallace. He actually drives Richard Petty's old car.
Uh-huh.
So real roots in here. And
Roots, I like that.
Yeah, there you go.
Roots, get it? Walker didn't know what we're talking
they
about.
They had a race this last weekend. It actually ran yesterday because it got rained out on Sunday. But on Sunday, someone found what they said was a noose hanging in Bubba Wallace's paddock, his garage where he keeps his car. And it got everybody upset. And so yesterday when they rolled the cars out, they had this what happened was they took Bubba Wallace's car. All the other drivers pushed his car to the front of the line, and everybody surrounded his car. All the teams came up during the prayer and the national anthem and all the pre-race.
Why did they push his car?
They wanted to put him symbolically, stand behind him in his car. Now,
So they're saying a black man can't help himself.
I don't know if that's what they're saying.
Is that what just symbolic? That's what it says to me.
No, it says we're behind you. They were on the side too. We're surrounding you. We stand with you.
Right.
I'm taking a leftist view here.
And they didn't.
And I'm saying.
So well, I'm
you
shocked.
Got, so he had got, started.
So you got to have all these white men help the black fella push his car. I get it. You see what I'm doing here?
Yes. That's okay. You're being triggered.
Yeah, I'm being triggered. But go ahead, Steve.
Well, no, he had to start in his regular starting place. But since then, it's been reported that they found a twisted piece of twine that looks like a noose. This is how Fox News reported it. Hanging from a tree at the Sonoma Raceway in California. This is Northern California in wine country. They have a NASCAR, it's a road course race in Sonoma.
Wait a minute. Before you get off into that, hold on a second.
Yeah.
Because I brought this up for a point. You have the Bubba Wallace.
Yes.
By the way, is he mixed?
I don't know.
I think he
looks like a white guy to me.
I think he comes from a biracial.
Okay, biracial. Family, anyway, when I look at him, I'm going, that's a white dude. But anyway, he is biracial. Okay. Identifies as black.
I think that's true.
He actually came up through the ranks of NASCAR's diversity program.
Okay. I didn't know they had one.
They did.
Anyway, here's the point. What happened is you had this very secure area where the cars are, and what one of his mechanics or one of the people who works in the garage of this gentleman, mm-hmm. Bubba Wallace, says is that he found a noose hearkening back to the lynching of African Americans, right, mm-hmm. in our country's past. Especially in the Deep South, KKK, that kind of thing. So that was a big story. Found a noose in the garage by Bubba Wallace's car, right? Have I got that right?
Correct.
Okay. So now, that story explodes. We don't know who did this yet. We don't even know. We haven't seen the quote noose, right? So, maybe I'm the only one, and maybe this turns out to be some redneck racist who they've got on video. This area was not open to the general public, so they're probably going to find out. The FBI is involved, by the way, out of Birmingham.
Yes, yes.
They're going to find out who did this, and whoever did this should be probably banned for life or punished.
They have been. The NASCAR is saying that they're okay. Banned for life.
Maybe a hate crime, for all I know. But what I'm saying to you is there was a gentleman, and I use that term loosely, by the name of Jesse Smollett. All right? And this kind of thing happens over and over and over again. So excuse my cynicism here, but I wouldn't doubt at all that this was an inside job and somebody placed this, quote, noose in his garage to try to gain sympathy and try to say, look, this only proves our point. NASCAR is full of racists. You see what I'm saying?
Well, can I just tell you what USA Today says? The headline now in For the Win.
What now?
Here's For the Win. It's a series of columns that they have, and this is what one person wrote. Here's the headline. NASCAR needs to examine the culture that led to a noose in Bubba Wallace's garage. So,
the assumption's already been made here.
That's right.
Yeah. We don't need to find out who did it.
It's kind of like what this kind of thing's been going on since what's the guy's name who preached the message, preached the sermon, quote sermon at the race baiter.
Al Sharpton.
You remember? A lot of people don't know this. Al Sharpton got his start by representing or drawing attention to a young woman in New York,
Tawana Brawley,
who was allegedly raped by some white men. Well, as it turns out, she wasn't. The story was made up. Well, what Sharpton and others came back and said was, and this is what they'll do this time, this is what they did with Smollett. Well, whether this actually happened or not doesn't matter. No, this is what they say.
Yeah.
They'll say, whether this actually happened or not doesn't matter because it's representative of reality.
Right.
Right? That's what they're, and I don't know, I'm waiting to see what the FBI discovers here. It could be that I'm wrong. It's not an inside job. As I speculate here on this noose found in the garage, huh?
But the my suspicion along the lines of what you're saying is, number one, who does this? Number two, it's just in time after a
right.
couple weeks after George Floyd and Rashad Brooks
and
the Arbery case.
Yes, this guy
perfect
has
timing.
Excuse me, Walker. This fella, how long has this gentleman been racing?
He's been in the top series of NASCAR for about 5 years.
Okay.
4 or 5 years.
So for 5 years, we haven't had a noose placed in his garage.
Right.
You would think these racists would have come out by now.
Yeah.
Right?
If you're racist one day, you're
and by the way,
another.
I find it ironic that this gentleman comes up through the diversity program.
Yeah.
Evidently, NASCAR is not totally racist if they allowed for this fella to rise to
right.
the level of being an actual race car driver on the circuit. So I got to give him a little credit, don't you think?
Yes.
Right there in NASCAR?
Well, here's the thing. One of the major problems I have now, I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody, and my life is filled. There are a number of closet, not so closet liberals in my family. I have liberals. Some of my best friends are liberals, okay? But I am basically surrounded by God-fearing Christian people, most of whom are conservatives. I don't know a single person that would ever say that if this actually was a noose
right.
and was sent as a message to Bubba
right.
Wallace, everyone I know would say that's abhorrent.
Yeah.
That's abhorrent. That's wrong every day. Okay? So instead of saying, why did this individual do this? If, in fact, it is an individual who actually did this to send a message, why doesn't this lady that's writing for USA Today, why don't they ask that question? Instead, here's what she says inside the body of the article. She says, but then NASCAR and those in it need to candidly examine what kind of culture they and their predecessors helped establish that enabled a racist to launch a death threat at the Cup Series only black driver at the Alabama natives' home track. So now the fault is with NASCAR generally and conservatives and Southerners generally, and eventually, you know, it's going to lead back to President Trump.
Yeah.
You just bingoed.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what this is all about. What the news ultimately, if you watch the whole movie, is Trump's fault because President Trump placed it there. Okay. We have a noose that we haven't even seen yet.
Right.
That this guy's been racing for 5 years. And magically now the racist comes forth to put a noose
right.
in his garage. By the way, there's a lot of cameras around. I bet we're going to find that.
They're going to find it.
The FBI, FBI is involved. And so you're right. Connect the dots here. All America, everybody should see this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Noose, Southern redneck white boy, sneaks in, puts a noose in the garage to try to intimidate, to say, I'm for lynching you.
Mm-hmm.
Black fella for racing in our races
with his MAGA hat on.
With his MAGA hat on,
yes, he's got a
right,
yeah.
right, and but only the only difference between Jesse Smollett it was 100 degrees. It wasn't 20 below.
20 below, like in
so
Chicago.
Doesn't you know? So then you got all those people in the stands, and then the millions of people who watch NASCAR by extension are also part of the noose
culture.
News culture, and then who do they vote for? Who do these people vote for?
Mm-hmm.
They vote, they're MAGA, they're
right.
Trump people. Therefore, President Trump is might as well be the person, Steve, who put the noose in the garage. That's what the media has whipped up here.
I don't deny everything you say is possible.
Thank you.
And it is kind of where it's
improbable.
Going. Let me just counter with this.
Please do.
This just came across. I just saw this headline. There's a driver in the series. His name is Mike Skinner, and he's not driving anymore. But he's been a very he was a star. He was a headliner in the truck series, especially. His son just posted something. His son said, the post said in part, "Frankly, I wish they would have tied the noose to Wallace and drug him around the pits because he has single-handedly destroyed what I grew up watching and cared about for 30 years now." That's the son of a driver, of a NASCAR driver.
A retired NASCAR driver.
I've
never even heard of his name.
I have.
If you go picking out people's former NASCAR driver's son's Facebook posts, there's no telling what you're going to find.
Right. There's a lot.
To then tie that to NASCAR is racist.
Right.
And the noose had to be placed by a KKK guy.
A lot of people got family, crazy family people.
Yeah,
but
just
anyway,
saying.
We'll see who placed the noose here. But the reason you get and it'll magic the story. If it's an inside job, the story will go away because this really happens in real right. It'll be Tawana Brawley. It'll be Jesse Smollett.
Yeah,
you know the left doesn't. It'll be like the young man on the mall in D.C.
Oh yes, the one who was approached by the Native American,
Covington Christian.
Oh yeah,
remember?
Yes,
what was his name?
It'll come to me.
Anyway, it'll be that kind of story all over again. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story, Steve.
All right. Hey, I don't know if many of you have heard of a Fox analyst named Victor Davis Hanson.
Yeah, I enjoy watching him.
He is a commentator. He was on Tucker Carlson's show. I didn't know. I thought this was an op-ed I'm going to talk about. I didn't know that it was on Carlson. I would have brought in some sound. I did not. But he is saying that this election coming up is more important than any election before. He says it's an existential question whether you want civilization and you believe that America doesn't have to be perfect to be good, or if you feel that America is inherently flawed with a cancer, and we have to use radiation and chemotherapy to kill the host and to kill the cancer. He says the election is no longer about Donald Trump's tweeting. It's not about Joe Biden's cognitive impairment. It has nothing to do with lockdowns, the virus, or the economy. It is now a stark right or wrong choice about the future of this country.
Yeah, I like Hanson, and man, I think he is spot on. It's strange that we have every 4 years we've been saying this is the most important election in our lifetime,
right?
And it actually has been, because the left has increasingly progressed to a more radical degree every 4 years. So every 4 years we're sitting there going, how can these people get any more radical? Well, I guess we'll find out. But every election seems to be over the question at heart of these fundamental issues. And so I agree. This is not about policies anymore. This is about whether or not we're going to allow people to overthrow the Constitution.
Yeah, I think it's accurate each time to say, and yeah, people may begin to not take it as serious if you say it's the most important election in our lifetime every time. But in a sense, it is. Everyone's important because it's a stepping stone either in the right direction or the wrong direction. So
we're either making progress or we're making progress in curing the ills that we do have, we admit that we have, and becoming a more prosperous place, or we're taking a step towards a radical departure from our past.
Yeah, I trust the Democrats less and less every passing day, and I worry that some of the policies that they're putting in place are going to, for example, the push for absentee voting for everybody to be able to vote by mail. I worry that that's going to be abused and that the Democrats could steal a national election. I'm not sure, not an expert enough on elections to know if that's possible. Maybe Walker, you know better.
Well, I will just say this and then toss it to Walker. Because of the Electoral College, individual states are what matters, or what is what matters. And you can, some of these are so close, a million votes either way can change the whole landscape.
Well, what I would say is that there's no moral boundary around Democrats that would keep them from doing this, I don't believe, Walker.
Yeah, I mean, the voter fraud has been an issue within Democrat ranks for a long time now. That's why they're against voter ID. Voter ID simply meaning bring your driver's license to the ballot box.
So we can see you are who you say you are.
Yeah, like you bring your ID to various other places for various other purposes. But, you know, what should be concerning is some of these swing states, these battleground states that are run by Democrat governors and Democrat secretary of states, meaning they control the election process for the most part. I know we saw Michigan mayor recently in the last few weeks encouraging mail-in ballots in large scale. So that's what you're going to have to look into.
Are you talking about in a primary? Because why are you promoting mail-in voting for a November election now?
Well, that's really not that far away. And when it comes to, you have to prep and have things printed.
Will it take you 2 months to drive down to the polling booth?
Well, I mean, if you're gonna switch over to widespread mail-in voting, that's not something you do in 2 weeks. There has to be an infrastructure.
Oh, well,
I
misunderstood.
Place.
I was talking about the individual. You're talking about something else, maybe. I'm talking about grandma needs to go vote.
No.
Well, it's in November. Well, we better get that mail in.
Yeah.
By now.
No. The Michigan governmental officials at the state level have already been talking about coming November and elections, special elections between now and then. We need to start expanding mail-in voting.
Because of coronavirus.
Well, yeah, that would probably be their reasoning. Yeah.
That's what they're saying now, but they've been saying this for years, that it disenfranchises minorities, which is an incredibly racist statement if you think about it, because it says that...
What disenfranchises minorities?
That having, like, for example, to present ID and to having to come in and vote in person. Because that's saying that if you're poor or if you're black or somehow a minority... You're not quite smart enough to get down and get your ID and know how to. I mean,
that's
it's
lame.
So
that's lame. That's pretty lame. But now we are going to have. There are processes in place to prevent voter fraud if they're followed.
Yeah. So this is back from May 22nd. This is a CBS News report. But the Michigan Secretary of State's office sent out absentee ballot applications to all registered voters in Michigan.
Have they ever done that before?
I don't believe
no,
so.
Don't
Not
so.
In widespread without people requesting them. Right. But these are going to be used, the Secretary of State said, for the August primary and the November general election.
Okay. Yeah.
So you used to have to kind of go down. I had a vote absentee ballot one time when my wife and I were going to be out of town. And you have to go down and you have to sign something saying I have a legitimate reason and that's why I need it.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't have a problem with that. I've done that before myself.
Right.
People do that. That's fine. But you know what? You have to go down there and show up, and it has to be illegal. What I'm worried about is these people, the massive mails, and the people sending their letters back in. They come in the day of the election.
Right.
And it. You don't know whether this is a valid vote. Or
address.
Or address or person.
Yeah.
Who signed it?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't think you should allow for that.
Michigan sent out almost 8 million blank absentee ballot applications.
That's... Anyway, we can talk about that more tomorrow.
To close the loop, the Covington kid was Nicholas Sandman.
Yes.
Yes, Sandman. See you tomorrow, everybody.